afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And we've got Orlene Curla trapped on. Is she on hold or is she back in? She's back on with us.
I'm here.
Orlene has never met a topic she didn't need to turn into a book. That's your...
It kind of is the truth, isn't it?
It's totally the truth. You know, the rest of us, we learn things and we go, ooh, that's really interesting. And then we move on. And you're like, you were like born with a shovel in your hand. You just start digging. It's probably good. That keeps you on the ground and out of the trees. She recently fell out of a pear tree and hurt her shoulder. So, you know, giving her kind of a hard time here. But it did make her available. You know, her activities are cut short. So when I chatted
That's
with her the
true.
Other day, it's like, I know what you're doing. You're just sitting around waiting for us to call you. Her new book that will be coming out, and the variety is really cool, too. That's the thing. You know, some people write all their books about the same stuff. You know, they get hooked on a topic, and it's all the same stuff. But yours are wide and varied, actually. If you go, Orlene, what's the best way to get your books? I had a little puzzle with that.
Well, I've started my own publishing company. It's called booksfortruth.com.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And all of the books are listed there, as well as a little blurb about them. Sometimes there's a little video clip where I'm being interviewed or speaking on the subject. So www.booksfortruth.com.
Nice. I will link that because you had the Small Helm Publishing.
I changed that name.
Well, no problem, but the bad part was I didn't get the update, so I was a little bit stuck. But, yeah, see, you've got California Water Crisis and By Stealth and Deception and Smart Meters.
You know, the Big Brother Smart Meter.
Yep, and then Smart Meters and The Dangers of the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. I didn't realize you had a thing on that. I should have known. Common Core. And you have a couple on Common Core, and the Common Core book is really, really good. And By Stealth and Deception is awesome, too.
Thank you. I also even wrote a little play that talks about the true story of Thanksgiving, and that's kind of a fun thing for people to have. It's just, it would take maybe a half an hour for a family to read through it and play these little parts, and it just tells the great lessons we're to learn from our original pilgrim fathers, because they first practiced socialism, and it absolutely did not work. And most of our American history books have left that out. So I put it in a play version.
Well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that. So yeah. Everywhere we try it, it just doesn't work. There's a common theme there.
That's right.
So when you and your family were visiting relatives and things in Germany, how long did it take before the refugee resettlement topic came up?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll bet it was in your face. Yeah.
Now, were you kind of digging into it before that, or did you go there and were just kind of blown away by
I knew we had heard that there was 1.1 million that had come into Germany, and we were wondering if we would see any big changes. But we were blown away, especially in Berlin. When we first arrived in Berlin, they have a memorial set up to remind people of the Holocaust, and it's 4 acres of strange-looking tombs. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but these tombs, some are lined straight down, rectangular, some are standing up. It's kind of done in an artistic, interesting way, but, you know, 4 acres of it, and they're all kind of grayish. And anyway, we were just there taking pictures and looking at them, and we saw a group of about 15 teenage Muslim boys come. They were standing on them, sitting on them, taking pictures of each other, all with their thumbs up. Like,
wow.
Isn't it wonderful that all these millions of Jewish people were killed in the Holocaust? And that was our first shocking experience. And then we saw all of these Muslim men walking with their wives, proudly showing them off, and we'd never seen that before. And then we started hearing about the...
Because they had multiple wives. It wasn't that they were, a guy was there with his wife. I mean, there were bunches of wives, right?
Yes, all in their burqas and following behind him, some, you know, with their baby carriages. And but we've never seen that before. Before, if I think they've always had multiple wives, but they'd keep them hidden because it was against, you're supposed to be put in prison for 7 years for polygamy in Germany.
Oh.
But, of course, no one does anything. These people are above the law, and they know that, and they seem to get away with whatever they want to get away with.
So the Muslim population in Germany is very prevalent. I mean, it's in public, and it's not hard to spot.
That's right. And by the year 2020, just 4 years away, it is predicted they will be 25% of the Muslim population, of the German population.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a huge number. And once they start reaching that number, they start taking over government. And
oh, sure.
Then pretty soon they can bring in Sharia law, exactly what they want.
Well, look what's happened in England. I mean, it's the same thing. They're being overrun.
They are. And in my research, I discovered that the Islam religion now is the primary religion in England. The amount of people attending the Muslim mosques far outnumber those who are attending any kind of a Christian church now in England.
Oh, yeah. And they have Muslims in their parliament. I mean, it's happening, and it's happening right in front of them. And
yes, the mayor of London is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's. I think they're starting to realize the mistake they made with the multiculturalism move, and I just wonder how big a role that played in the whole Brexit vote. That people looked around and said, "We are not our
We've
own country
lost
anymore."
Our country. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it did play a big role because it is the European Union that is greatly pushing the Muslim refugee program coming in, along with the United Nations. So I think it probably did play a role. I just recently found out that in Australia, the Prime Minister has just made an edict telling the Muslims, if you are coming into our country, you are going to assimilate. You're not expecting us to assimilate to your laws, and really strong language. So I thought, well, that's nice. Maybe that'll catch on with some of the other Commonwealth nations, maybe Canada, and I wish the United States would learn from that.
Yeah,
we're going to have a different president for that to happen.
Yeah, we probably have to switch teams there, and do some big changes. What else did you see in Germany that was just wildly different? Because you go every year to visit family, or every other.
It's been just about every year. We were there last year as well, and what a contrast between last year and now. And then just the apathy about religion we'd never really noticed before. Kurt's family, his cousin, used to be the secretary for the Lutheran pastor. Well, that church is now closed down, and she doesn't seem to be the least bit upset by it. It's just kind of what's happening with the trending times. I served a mission for our church when I was just in my early 20s, 1966 to 68. I was in Amsterdam and three other cities in Holland. And to find out what's happened there, 55% of the Dutch now say that they are atheists. And their churches, there's a church in Arnhem where I was called the St. Joseph's Church that is now a skateboard park. And in the city of Amsterdam, it's called the Oude Kerk, the oldest church that was built in Holland, built back in 1309. It is now a brothel.
Oh, that's taken an ugly twist.
It sure is. It's in the middle of the red light area, and that's all they could find a buyer for that one. How sad that is. The Neue Kerk, which means new church, is a museum. And all the other churches are now mosques.
Wow.
Wow.
So it is really scary.
And so are the, so in Germany, when you were talking to relatives and their friends and people while you were there, are people, German people joining the mosques, or are the mosques being populated by people from foreign countries who are coming there as refugees?
I think some of the young people are being converted because they have nothing else in their lives.
Sure.
And, you know, I think everyone needs something to believe in, and they're growing up in atheistic homes, or at least homes that have no religion, and a lot of them are being converted. But the older people, it's just kind of a state of apathy. Kurt's cousins included, they're very brilliant. He has several cousins who are medical doctors and attorneys and very, very brilliant people, but they don't seem to think religion is important in their lives. And I'm so sorry, it seems to be the trend among millennials all over, here in the United States as well.
And every vacuum gets filled by something.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's interesting that they don't believe in religion, and yet many of them are converting to Islam, which they claim is a religion, but it's mostly an ideology.
It is an ideology, and really it's a pagan ideology.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, we'll do a little sneak preview into a guest that we're going to have on here not too long, you know, and not too long. His name is Frank Burley, and he has written a book called It's All About Muhammad. And
you were telling me about that. It sounded fascinating.
That'll.
Oh, it's a read. It's a big book, but
it's a fast read. Bill blew through that.
If you want to know what Muhammad believed and what's really in the Quran and how it got there and why it got there, read that book, and I think you'll understand why Islam can never be integrated into our society ever. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, if you're still harboring under the delusion that it's just a religion like everything else. It's like being a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever. No.
Yeah, they're trying to say that we worship the same God, but that is not true at all.
Well, it was written that way. It was written as originally to bring in the Christians and bring in the Jews. But shortly thereafter, they realize, hey, this is really going south in a hurry. This isn't what we believe, and there's no way on this earth we'll ever believe this. And that's when it took a turn, and now everybody else is pretty much mortal enemies of Islam. And you'll either be Islam or you'll die. And they say, oh, well, you can pay the tax and live side by side. No. Because when they're tired of your tax, then they'll just kill you. I mean, bottom line is you cannot coexist with Islam.
I've linked that on the We Recommend page. I think I'm going to put up an Islam tab on our website. We've done enough shows on this, and there's enough information. So we'll link your book and Frank's book and all that. I think the only thing that's going to save us is people being really clear-eyed about how this works and what it turns into. But everybody thinking, oh, you know, hey, it's not that big. It won't happen here, right? Oh, geez, how many times have we heard that about different things?
It's happening here.
We need to probably take it
very quickly. I'm just appalled at and the amount of mosques that are just popping up all over.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, it's just like our religion, only different, and we should all work together. It's like, you should probably do more homework. So I think Orlean's book and Frank's book, and geez, we did five shows with Peter Friedman. So if you're not a big reader, you know, listen to some of the archive programs and send them to your friends and other people who think that this is all going to be fabulous, because it isn't. We'll be right back. We are overdue here for a little break. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The dam's busted.
perfect song for this topic. Please don't tell them all the truth. Actually, Orlean, I think your book website is perfect then. Booksfortruth.com. This is something that I know is kind of being covered in the media a little bit, the refugee resettlement. But depending on where you live, it's very, very skewed. What's the press in Germany when you guys were there? Any coverage or no?
Well, it took me really digging deep to find some articles that were coming out of the German press. So for the most part, they're still trying to pass this off as minor incidences. But the German people themselves are finding the truth. And I think part of it was also not only were these four horrible, grievous crimes happening, acts of terrorism in one week in Germany, but also at the same time in France. And I did want to mention there's a Cardinal d'Antois, who is the Cardinal of Paris, and he presided at the mass of this cute little 86-year-old priest who had his throat cut. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, right on the altar.
Yes, he was forced to kneel at his own altar and had his throat slit. And so this Cardinal d'Antois, in his message when he spoke at the memorial service, said that these jihadists wrap themselves in the trappings of religion while announcing and worshiping a god of death. And he compared the Islam religion to the ancient pagan religion that were worshiping Molech. It was this god, also a god of death, that the people, the believers, thought they had to offer human sacrifices to him as a tribute, otherwise their lands would not be blessed. So they were giving their little children as human sacrifices. And he's saying, a French bishop is saying the same thing about Allah. Here they think that the only way they're going to gain salvation with their strange god is by killing the infidel and killing the Jewish people or killing themselves with a suicide bomb. And I thought that was really a very good comparison.
Well, I think it's interesting that they believe that to die a martyr is the best way and easiest way to get to heaven. And yet so many of the terrorists today fall just short of being a martyr. They kill people and perform all these acts.
Some of them are getting captured. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't quite have the stomach to actually go the full measure. So, I don't know. It's the whole thing is really messed up. It really is,
and I'm looking forward to reading that book that you spoke about to find out where all these messed up ideas really come from.
It was, as Bill was telling me as he was reading, it's like, uh-oh. It's like reading a book about Jesus, but it's all backwards.
It is, and it's really funny because as he was creating the Quran, situations would come up that needed clarification, so he would magically go into a trance and come up with the answer direct from God. And this is where pretty much all of the verses in the Quran came from Muhammad, in these supposed trances, and they just magically solved the issue at hand. So every problem they had, they'd go to him, and he'd get it right from God. And once he said it, that was it. There was no going back on it. So it was absolute. And there is an answer for pretty much every situation out there. It's in the Quran, and it's pretty specific how you deal with pretty much every situation. It's in there, and it's very violent, very bloody, and there's no question about your belief. You either believe or you don't believe, and if you don't believe, then they have the right to kill you.
And Aaron told me that he really was having a lot of epileptic fits. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was a total epileptic, and back in those days, they called it the falling disease. And prior to Muhammad, if you had that, you were possessed by a demon, and most often you were either exiled from the tribe or killed. But in his case, when he'd fall into these epileptic seizures, he'd wake up screaming these verses that he was actually speaking direct to God, and people started buying into it. And what they think is that a lot of these verses that he would magically come up with after having an epileptic seizure were verses that he had written and pretty well thought out prior, because he knew he was going to have another one. And it was just...
So it kind of percolated on the idea?
Because some of them were very, very long verses and very complex. And to come out of an epileptic seizure with these complex thoughts was pretty unlikely. So he would have the answers to the problem direct from God. And people started buying into it. And it soon turned into pretty much fear. They knew that if they didn't go by what he said, terrible things would happen to them or their family, or their distant relatives.
Yeah, so for all the people that think that it's just some people now that are extremists that are taking things the wrong way.
Oh, no,
it started that way.
It started that way as a religion of terror. And the more people that it affected, the more people, and it just kind of cascaded. And even then, they believed that it was terror that convinced people to join this, because they didn't want to die, and they knew they would. So
it's still a religion of terror, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. As you're reading it, you're thinking, my gosh, that's exactly what's happening now. I mean, this is almost verbatim what you're seeing happening today is happening all over again. So yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a real eye opener.
The sad thing is, we do not seem to have learned from history, do we?
No.
Well, we ignore it because it seems unpleasant. You know, well, who would do that? I mean, it's kind of like my mom. You know, when I would tell her about things that I was learning, you know, especially when it comes to the global warming and all that stuff, and my mom's like, well, honey, why would people want to do that? Why would they want to control everyone? Why would they want to force people to move into the city? It's like, I don't know, Mom.
We just don't think that way, do we?
It just seems illogical. So, you know, you have a lot of people who just go, unpleasantness probably not coming my way.
That's true. People just kind of ignore what they think is unpleasant.
The bad part is it is coming our way. And once these folks are in our country, so tell me this, once they've been brought here, okay, and I did hear the story about the 800 and some odd people who were given citizenship who should have been deported. So, okay, that being said, the refugees that come here, regardless of where they started, if they come here and they're, you know, bad guys and they commit crimes and stuff, do we get to get rid of them? Or when they come here as refugees, are they automatically, they get to stay for a period of time? Is it a period of time, or is it forever, or what happens?
Well, I know the three boys that committed this terrible atrocity, raping a little six-year-old girl in Twin Falls, Idaho. Two of the families were forced to leave the apartment complex where they lived. The other family, because that little boy was only seven, they forgave him. But he lives right next to where the little girl lives, and she's still terrified and petrified and won't go out of her apartment. So I don't think they're deported. Maybe they're just moved to a different apartment complex or a different area. It's very tragic. You'd think they would be deported. The one that committed a horrible act in Germany was supposed to be deported. He committed... strapped himself with explosives and blew himself up in front of a concert hall because they wouldn't let him enter because he was on the terrorist watch list. So I thought, well, I'll just do my dastardly deed out here in front of the concert hall then. But he was supposed to have been deported. Never happened in Germany.
Wow. And so where do the Germans think it's going? Are they just hoping it doesn't affect them, or...
I think there's a real apathy for the most part. Only one of Kurt's relatives even seemed to know anything about it. the others were just apathetic.
God, how can you be? How can you be apathetic about something like that?
I mean, I know when we presented to them the information we had, it was like they'd never heard it before. So either the German news is not reporting it, or maybe they're just not paying attention. There was only one person in the church we attended to, the church my husband grew up in, some old friends. He knew what was going on. Nobody else did. So I think there's just a spirit of apathy in Germany, just like it is here. People are just uninformed. The news is not really giving them the true story. The media is told to kind of go hush-hush on this.
Wow.
It just gets worse.
What are they seeing in the schools?
Well, in the schools, they are teaching multiculturalism, just like they are here, that we must accept all cultures, that no one culture is any better than any other, and that's why our whole American history is being watered down and made to be not very wonderful at all. The great bastion of freedoms this nation is no longer being really, truly portrayed to the children in our schools, and that's all under the title of multiculturalism. In my book, I write about what's going on in Sweden. Sweden now has only 27% of Christians. The rest are either atheists or Muslims. And they now have conclaves of Sharia law that no police would ever dare set foot in. They just, their whole nation is just almost totally taken over by Muslims now. There was one Christian church still standing. The lady that runs it is a lesbian, and she decided that to make her church more hospitable to the Muslims, she took down anything that resembled a cross. So the crosses are all down. And then she put arrows in the church, all pointing to the east, towards Mecca, so they will feel more at home.
I think
she should just sell it to them for a mosque.
just roll over and call it done. It's painful to watch it one paper cut at a time.
That's right. It's just amazing.
It's interesting. In that book, it's all about Muhammad. They explained, the whole... what the big thing is with Mecca.
Well, they
goes through the whole history of that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the Muslims face Mecca now. Well, in the beginning, they faced Jerusalem, and according to Muhammad, you had to face Jerusalem because they're all from the God of Abraham. But then, when the Jews decided, hey, this guy's a total fruitcake and crazy. We're not going to join him. We're not going to follow him. He got another message from God that said, okay, guys, we're now going to turn our backs on Jerusalem and face Mecca because the Jews are not going to join us, so we no longer have to respect any of their laws. But the funny thing is they still believe they are descendants of the God of Abraham. They couldn't take that part back, but they do face Mecca now. So,
and they still have their mosque as part of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So it's a lot of cases were for convenience at the time, and
because he thought he was going to get everybody to join.
Oh yeah, everybody was going to join.
Everybody was going to throw over their own plan and come and join him.
Yep.
Amazing how. It's all about the leadership, you know? It always goes back to that. And if you have somebody who's, slick enough and clever enough, I don't know, super spooky. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're chatting about refugee resettlement. Obviously, we're not big fans. So, of course, there are some people who are actually fleeing violence, and we feel bad for those people, but it's become a Trojan horse again. We'll be back with Arlene in a couple minutes.
You are not me. The links that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me and the
Allahu Akbar, I told them don't curse me. Oh boy, you need prayer, I guess it couldn't hurt me. If it brings me to my knees, it's a bad religion. Ooh, the sun cried in love.
What was that? Do tell.
It's something relatively new, Bad Religion by Frank Ocean.
Oh, well,
there you go.
Another good song we'll be using again. Maybe you need music on your website for your books, Arlene.
Yes, I appreciate finding out about all this.
We would put little songs on there. Oh, man. So in writing this, is it, I would imagine it's just a matter of deciding what not to include.
Every day I find something more that I think, oh, well, I've got to include this. It's just amazing. I also wanted to let you know that in Hamburg, some Sharia police are showing up, and these are men dressed with a kind of a green, fluorescent green colored jacket, and on the back is written in Arab Sharia police, and they also have a car that has Sharia police written on it.
Who pays for that?
I don't know. And they're showing up in the UK as well, in Sweden. And supposedly their role is to find those Muslims who are not living as they're supposed to. They're now drinking alcohol, they're gambling, they're watching pornography or using prostitutes, and they will gather them up and haul them away in their police car. So they've taken it upon themselves to enforce Sharia law, even though Sharia law doesn't really exist, but that's very interesting, isn't it?
Well, if you get Netflix, there, I watched a program the other day. It was on Saudi Arabia, and it was filmed by hidden camera. Saudi Arabia is one of the most locked down countries on the planet, where very little information gets out about what happens in Saudi Arabia. And the gist of the program was they are a very closed society. The Sharia, they also have what they call religious police. They're men that are dressed in white robes that walk the malls, that walk the streets. If they see anything that is against Muslim law, you're warned. And it depends. If you're a woman, you're usually beaten on the spot by these police. If you're a man, you're warned. Like, you can't play music. Music is outlawed. Of course, drugs and alcohol are outlawed. There's a strict dress code for women. There's many, many things that they're looking for. And if you're a violator, you're warned. And then if you continue your bad behavior, you're picked up, just like what you said. You're picked up. You're taken to a jail, and depending on what your crime is, you could be executed. And they have a place there. I forget what they call it, but it's like a big public mall area. And this is where they take you out in the middle of this mall, and they behead you. And there's not really a trial. You don't really get a trial. I mean, if somebody saw what you did and there were witnesses to what you did, then you're guilty. And they'll take you out, and they'll either behead you, cut your hands off, public whippings. But all of this goes on in Saudi Arabia today under the veil of secrecy, because when you fly into Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed a camera. You have to be very careful with your cell phones, where you take your cell phones out. But if you're caught filming or anything like that, you're in serious trouble. So,
wow.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't recommend you travel to Saudi Arabia for a cultural experience, because you may get way more than what you bargained for. It's a spooky place, and they're an ally. And this is what kind of frightens me is they're in the thick of this whole Muslim belief, and it's spooky.
It is spooky, and it shows there is no changing them. And all these wonderful Christian groups that think that they're going to convert them to Christianity just by wonderful charity and kindness. This is so ingrained
they
in them.
They are delusional.
Well,
that's right.
Islam or Muhammad, you know, started his whole trek, I think they said, in 622 A.D., and that was a long time ago, folks, and nobody has been able to change it since then. So for us to think that as Christians we're going to go over and we're going to show them the ways of their errors, good luck, because you're going to get your head cut off. And
that's so true.
That's just the way it is. You cannot convert them.
No.
This is what they believe.
Someone gave me a copy of the magazine that ISIS puts out. I had no idea that they actually had a magazine. It's all in color. It looks really nicely done. The cover of the one that came out in August showed a Muslim man up on a roof of a Christian church taking down the cross. And that was the title of that edition of the magazine, was Removing the Cross. And they are out to destroy Christian churches. And the fact that they have no respect for the sanctity of a church. They walked right in and killed that poor 86-year-old Catholic priest. In this magazine, it shows beheadings in a public square, just like you said, with graphic pictures. I was dumbfounded. And they, you know, very proud of it. And they tell about the huge number of Christians that are converting to Islam. Of course, you can't tell if it's true or not. They definitely believe that it's good to lie for Allah. They'll say anything they want to.
Well, that was written. That was another verse that was written into the Quran when I forget, one of his followers was captured by the Meccans, and he had to lie and say that he wasn't a Muslim anymore. He converted back to the Meccan religion, but then when he escaped, he went back and told Muhammad that he had sinned, that he had declared that he was not a believer anymore, and Muhammad had a magical vision and said it's okay to lie in order to deceive your enemies. That's okay. You have not committed a sin. So again, they just write these verses to make it okay for whatever the situation is. You're not going to win. It's just not going to happen.
Right. It's just amazing. Well, the other big thing I'm writing about in my book is the huge amount of propaganda that is now in our schools. In my book, By Stealth and Deception, I write about having to have, I had a 2-week substitute teaching position at junior high, 7th grade in Hillsburg, and that's when they were doing their Islam studies program. And I was absolutely appalled at what I was supposed to teach. This was in 2002. It is so much worse now because these very wealthy Muslim organizations have essentially bought out the textbook producers, publishers. So they have totally changed American history, world history. Everything is whitewashed about Muslims, about Islam, and Christianity is painted in such a bad light, and the poor little kids don't know anything different. Most of the teachers don't know anything different.
No, no, and for the people that say, well, we're moderate Muslims, or they aren't. They can't be. If they believe in the Quran, they're not moderate. And you can't believe in part of it and not believe in all of it. It's either true or it's not true. And for them to say, oh, we're much more liberal than the real Muslim, you're either Muslim or you're not Muslim. And if you are Muslim, you believe in the Quran, you can't mix your faith up with Jews and Christians. They're the enemy, and that's just it. There's no crossing that line.
That's right. But if a child comes out of our public schools having had this course in the 7th grade in world history, they will think that the Islam religion is the most wonderful religion on earth. That's how whitewashed these books are, and how they praise the Muslim family and what a wonderful united family it is, and how wonderfully they treat women.
Yeah, that's a whole other story there.
I think anybody who's buying that is a complete
idiot.
Back in
2002, I just could not teach this. Well, it's even worse now, but I told the kids, I said, you've got to realize that sometimes there's a bias by the people that are writing in textbooks, and this is definitely biased, and I'm going to tell you how they really treat women. And so I brought in the movie, well, I wanted to bring it in. I could not find it, but Not Without My Daughter, starring Sally Fields.
Oh, yeah.
A true story. And so I told them about that. And when it came to, I was supposed to have them dress in Muslim attire and create a Muslim prayer rug, take a Muslim name.
You were?
None of that.
That was part of the thing?
That was part of the thing.
Oh,
and I refused to do any of that. And when it came to, I had to teach them the five pillars of Islam because that was on the test. But when I did, I said, well, now let's look at what the pillars are of their cousins, the Jews and the Christians. So I gave them all a really nice copy of the Ten Commandments, and we compared notes. And the only thing that compared was, thou shalt have no other gods but Heavenly Father, and thou shalt have no other god but Allah. And then the rest of the four pillars, nothing about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was just, you know, to give alms to the poor and make a trip to Mecca in your lifetime. And I just, thought that was a nice way for me to sneak in a copy of the Ten Commandments.
For the life of me, I don't know why any woman would convert to Islam. I mean, they are basically treated like animals. They're considered animals in the Quran. And the reason they cover up in their burqas, again, it was a convenience for Muhammad. He got tired of the warriors checking out his wives, because after he made these raids, he would always get the best-looking women of the other tribes as wives, and the other members of the tribes that would come into his tent would be looking at his wives. And so God spoke to him and said, from now on, all the women have to wear these burqas.
They have to look like patio umbrellas.
That's right. And if they don't want to wear them, they have to stay behind a screen because they are not to be seen.
Exactly. So I obviously have a huge future there because I'm –
you follow all
of those. I'm going to do really well there. It's not going to be good. We need to take a really quick break here before the top of the hour. We're here with Orlene Curla chatting about the refugee resettlement issue. We'll be right back. Guess maybe we're not going anywhere. We might be going somewhere. Give me a nod, Bob. Should I hum a few bars?
We seem to have lost our sound. There it is.
My freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
We'd like to see some rain.
Seen sunny days.
Let's cut back on the fire, though. We've seen enough fire. Orlene, anything here in the last couple of minutes that we have skipped?
Yes, I would, people ask, well, why is this happening and what's really going on? Well, it is about the money, like I told you, these various VOLAGs, that's what they're called, voluntary agencies, but they're not voluntary because they're getting millions of dollars. So there is a lot of money behind it, but it's also about the globalist agenda. They want to destroy Western civilization. You can't usher in a one-world government when you have strong individual nations. So they want to break down the whole concept of nations, get rid of borders, have no strong feeling of patriotism left, and that will be the case when you're totally oversaturated with these people who have no strong feeling of patriotism for your country. And they want to destroy our U.S. Constitution, our individuality, our Second Amendment rights, and change us to a totalitarian government. And then these globalists don't really mind if they usher in Sharia law as long as it's not going to affect them. It might, however, but it seems like Sharia law and totalitarianism works really well together, and the Sharia, the Muslims, the Islam religion works really well with communism, with Nazism. And so that's essentially what I believe is truly the bottom line behind all of this. And it's hard to explain that to people when they don't even think communism exists anymore. They can't fathom that there is such a plan to usher in a one-world government. But those of us who see it coming more and more...
Sure, it's all right there.
...what this is all about.
Well, can you believe it? We've run out of time.
Wow.
I know. It goes fast. It's like falling out of a tree. Sorry.
Nice. So
just
to get that in there.
On your program, I really enjoyed doing this here.
Just one more shot. We hope you feel better really quickly. I know that having a messed up shoulder when you're trying to write a book is probably not convenient.
That's true. I'm having to use one hand.
No, not good.
It's hard.
So for Orlene's book information, booksfortruth.com. Her name is Orlene Curla. Check out the information on the website about the conference this week. It's Saturday in Sacramento. Saturday and Sunday, I should say. WeThePeopleRadio.us has all your info. We'll see you guys next week.